Deuteronomy 26, beginning at verse 1. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of all of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at that time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down to Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, putting us hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. And you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all good things the Lord your God has given you, has given to you and to your household. Our second reading is from 1 Samuel 17, starting at verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of the shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with your sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down in the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with the sling and stone without a sword in his hand. He struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took the hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. This ends our reading.
I'd like to invite children to come down. Coming. Keep squeezing in. There's room. Go ahead. Sit right there. It's fine. Squeeze together. Good. Good, good, good. All right. Go ahead. Find a spot. Where do you want to sit, honey? Where would you like to sit? Well, you want, just pick it, you want to sit over here? Is that okay? Sit right next to him. There you go. There you go. Slide over a little bit. Slide over that way just a little. There you go. Good. Ah, good morning, good morning. I have a couple of big people that are going to help me today. All right, first I need an armor bearer. Oh, no, thank you. He volunteered for this, kind of like all of my adults volunteer. Good. I need a. He's carrying the shield of this next guy, and he's going to be standing right there. Right there. Perfect. Face this way. Perfect. Now I need a Goliath. All right. And he's got to be even bigger than I am. So, Scott, thank you for being down here. Going to dump the cousins or the nieces off. Yeah, it's good. Just stand right next to him. We got to get a Goliath going here. Well, he's a lot bigger than I am. I wouldn't want to fight him. You're not big enough, Goliath. Goliath was almost 9. No, you're still not big enough. We need more. Goliath was bigger. Goliath was as tall as the ceiling. There he goes. Get right on. Don't fall off, please. Perfect. Goliath. His armor bearer. Who are we missing?
David.
David, I think, was about 12, going almost on 13. I know of somebody 12, almost going on 13. Yeah. You see all these people volunteering for this job? No, I didn't see any of them volunteer. You want to pick one out? We'll drag them up here and I'll embarrass them with you or something. No, okay, you're nice. I'm not, you know that. All right, David was give or take about this age. And let's stand you right next to him. You look a little wimpy. You're a normal kid, but next to him, I don't know. You're just the right side. Your feet touch the ground. That's all that matters. All right. Here's the situation. Now, Goliath is an interesting character because twice every day he would come out and challenge you Israelites to a battle. Anyone want to take Scott on there? Well, you can have a little knockdown, drawn-out fight here if you want. I don't want to. I think you'd take me. So, anyway, David came walking one day because his dad had sent him to visit his brothers. And his brother was over there. Look at that, his older brother. And, you know, Goliath would shout, come out and fight me.
Come on, little man, let's go.
Ah, well done. And he said, not me, and he ran away. And he grabbed another brother right behind him. Who are you looking at? Yeah. And he again said,
come on, little man, over here.
And David, what did that brother say?
No thanks.
David decided that was terrible. And he said, I will go fight him. Say it.
I will go fight him.
Yes. And did you hear what he said?
He laughed.
Yeah, he laughed. And made fun of you. And his armor bearer right there, the shield carrier, he made fun of you too. But, all right. Here's what's interesting. Here's what's interesting. I want you to notice this part. David runs to meet the enemy. You know how the slings used to go? Yeah, good. You've seen that. Good. You're going to have to run slow because there's not big distance between us. I don't want you to hit the ladder or him. But grab the stone, put it in your sling, and go kill him. There you go. Just get that sling going. Faster. Hit him in the head. Boom. Please don't fall too far. Bless you, my son. And down he went. Armor bearer ran away. And David ran over to him. And what did he do, David? Tell him louder.
He took his sword out and chopped him.
Well, pretend you got a sword. Grab his head off. Pretend you're holding it up. Hold it up. By the hair. Oh, he's by the hair. One hand.
No, no, yeah, up here, like this, up here. Come on back, perfect. So how did he break his neck? I don't know, a kid was, he was, well done. Now, he was 12 going on 13 about that. He was still a kid. And all the men and the big people in the place ran in the other direction. They ran away. What did he have that those people didn't? Because that's what the sermon is about today. What did he have that the people out there didn't, the other soldiers? Oh, perfect. Louder, shout it out.
God's word.
It's actually God's word there. It means that God had sent him to do the job. And here's the best part. He didn't question it. Instead, how did he handle it? He ran toward Goliath instead of away from him. Did you notice that? He ran toward Goliath, and he wasn't afraid. That's the sermon today. How do we help big people know the word of God so they never run away? They always run toward the battle. Can you remember that for me today? Good. We've got quite a crew. I'm going to let David grab something first. Good job. Let the lady, well, we got some ladies. Here we got some. Here we go. Ladies go first. Everyone grab one. Go quick, though. Ladies first. Come on up, hon. Make room. Let the girl. Oh, otherwise, you don't get any. Yeah, but you make room for the ladies. You're doing a good job. Give me five. Well done. You're welcome, honey. You're welcome. Hurry up, ladies. There's a line forming. All right, guys, go ahead. Go ahead. Make sure you grab something. Grab something for Sarah and grab something for Grandma. And my David, Goliath, everybody disappeared. I didn't get anything for them. If anyone is near Goliath or the armor bearer, yeah. Here, take this down back to Goliath for me. And I don't know what he likes, so. Got to give your armor bearer something. They don't. Fascinating text, a familiar story. What struck me out of it, though, or in the middle of it as I was studying it and preparing it and choosing it to be the topic for the day, was, what do you see? The entire army of the Israelites saw defeat. The entire army of the Israelites were terrified. All the big people ran when Goliath came out and challenged the Israelites. David, 12, 13, give or take years old, saw something different. And the question for you is, what do you see? Are you seeing defeat? Are you seeing the power of God? Are you hearing the voice of God? Are you responding to the mercy and the call of God to do what he's calling you to do? Because the courage of David made this story end totally differently. There's another story very similar to this. It's the story that you find in Numbers 13. I'll kind of paraphrase it for you. But Moses had sent out spies to check out the land of Canaan. And the spies came back. There were 12 of them. And all 12 said, the land is as beautiful and as, you know, wonderful as we talked about. It's a wonderful place, as we've talked about. But 10 of the spies said, don't go. We can't defeat them. They're all too big. They're all too strong. We don't have what it takes to defeat them. Two of them, Aaron and Caleb, said, no, we can do it. Joshua, sorry, yeah, thank you. Joshua and Caleb went to that point, and they said, no, we can do this. Don't do this. They tore their robes in grieving, saying, don't, you guys are making a serious mistake. And the people, instead of listening to Joshua and Caleb, said, let's go back to Egypt. I'd rather be in slavery in Egypt than to risk my life fighting the people of Canaan. Even though God had told them to fight. Even though God had promised to give them into their hand. The people made the decision. And cowardice ruled. And for 40 years, God took them in the wilderness. The consequence of no David stepping up or the ignorance of the people when they would not step into the position that God had called them was a consequence of unbelievable suffering, unbelievable lack of progress, a place where they got no benefit whatsoever from walking around in the wilderness until they died. So that's the setting. And you have to understand, this country, this church, our fellowship, we as individual Christians stand in the same spot, and we have this ability, if you understand the call, to be as stupid and selfish and foolish as the Jews were, refusing to go where God had commanded them to go and enter the promised land and defeat the Canaanites after God had promised them he would defeat them. Or we have the ability to David and think like David and see like David and operate on a totally different view and understanding of life and the world around us. What did David see? An opportunity for God to be glorified. What did David see? An opportunity for the world to know who the God of the Israelites was. And so you begin to understand, as we begin to pull back the story of David and Goliath, in one sense, it's a children's story. It's easy to talk about in Sunday school. It's more difficult when you start to understand the kind of courage demanded of this kid, the kind of courage that refused to carry a sword and went only with his sling, having the experience that he had as a 12, 13-year-old killing a bear and a lion and other things to protect the sheep that he was the shepherd for. But in the middle of it, he walked away. And if you watch this now, it said this. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." That's courage. That's faith. That's operating with a totally different view of a situation where the rest of the army is running in the opposite direction. This young man walks into the middle of it, trusting in God, having his focus right, hearing the voice of God and being obedient to it, and stepping into a situation that by every standard, if I could have had Scott manage to stretch that high and not use a ladder, they estimate Goliath may have weighed more than 500 pounds. And when he fought you with a sword or a spear, the spear was so big you could hardly get your hand around the spear. That's how big it was. And how heavy the sword was, if you've ever seen him fight, when you start dropping a 5-pound sword or a 15-pound or a 50-pound sword on somebody's head, it does all kinds of different damage. So in a worldly perspective, the army seemed to make sense. From a spiritual perspective, they had missed the whole point. They had lost their vision of their God. And here in this situation, you hear David define why God is doing this exact event in the first place. God is doing it so you will never doubt the power of your God. God is doing it so Israel will know who has brought them into the land. That's why we read that first text that talks about in Numbers. When you came to this land, do you think you deserve America? Just because you were born here? You think it's not a gift from God that you're even here today and you have the degree of freedom you have but you also have the freedom to run away? Would you have the courage of the Ukrainians to stand and fight in the middle of unbelievable odds, to put yourself in front of a tank, to maybe turn the heart of some Russian soldier trying to kill you or destroy your country? Would you have what it takes to defend this land that God has given to you, or do you think we deserve America? The Ukrainians are so much more wicked than we are. They are so much... That's foolishness. But it's the way we can think sometimes. And so the point David is making is not just defeating Goliath, but defeating Goliath in the power of the Lord. Goliath was not defeated, like it goes on to say. He took a stone from his sling, struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank so deep in the forehead, may have been dead already, but certainly got knocked out. It says, so David triumphed over the Philistines with a sling and a stone, without a sword in his hand, and struck down the Philistine and killed him. Who won that battle? David did. Who ultimately won that battle? God did. Who hopefully learned the lesson? God's people. You see, that's the sermon. The story itself is the sermon. Do you have the courage to use what you do have? You understand? David came as a 12, 13-year-old and had his strength, his ability, his experience, and he brought it to bear into that situation where God had called him to stand. And David was aware of what his skill was and what he had the ability to do, and he was going to take Goliath down confidently because of who his God was. And so you begin to understand what David has experienced, what the disciples are, or not, excuse me, not the disciples, his brothers and the rest of the people in the army are experiencing, and you see this testimony begin to be accomplished. Totally different outcome. Not 40 years in the wilderness, utter and complete destruction of the Philistine army. Their bodies, their carcasses are scattered all over the fields as they chase them through the valley and up the other side. And they begin to kill them and leave them live for the birds and the wild animals to eat them. And David carries this head of Goliath, 12, 13-year-old kid, carrying the head of Goliath. And you got a picture, a big head, 9 feet tall, 10 feet tall almost, carries it to Jerusalem. Goliath is dead. The Philistines are defeated. And God has given you the victory. So when you're in a situation where you've got a Goliath in your life, a situation that is bigger than you can think of, you don't have to run around looking for what you don't have. You got to come with what you are, with what you do have, the skill, the different things that you've experienced in your life. You bring that to bear on the situation, and it's God who gives the victory. Historically, you've got to watch, because that's part of the lesson that we picked up from that other text also, where you begin to understand the text there found in Deuteronomy 26. History matters. Your great, 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 great spiritual grandfather, in a sense, David, defeated Goliath because he operated with a sense of faith and faithfulness that most of us haven't begun to fully comprehend. And he won the battle and set in motion the defeat of the Philistine army for years to come, and set a tone for the kind of courage that was required of people in difficult situations. And so we begin to understand, why is God so careful to be a God of accurate history? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God you have seen me be for them, even though they were all over the board in terms of faithfulness and behavior. I still love them. I worked in their life. I rescued their children. I gave them victories. I went and guided them. That same God is your Father, is your Lord, is your God. And you are meant to rely on that, to trust that faithfully, as God has done it in the past, God is looking at you and I saying, this I will do with you in the future. If the church fails to stand when it's called to face its Goliaths, the church will collapse and be destroyed. If he's willing to do it to the Israelites, if he's willing to scatter their bodies over the wilderness and over the desert Why is it you think your body is any more special than theirs was? If it takes a 12, 13-year-old to figure out how to stand against a Goliath, praise God. But on the other hand, what would have changed if the army would have stepped up, if those would have been in place already? And you begin to understand, when they finally had Goliath killed, then they all got their strength back and they chased the Philistines and scattered their bodies over the wilderness. It sounds a little gross and a little crass, but this is life and death. It's the life of the church or the death of the church. It's the life of little babies or the death of little babies. It's the life of freedom or the death of freedom. There's more at stake than we can possibly comprehend. And we have to understand the challenge that David now sets in front of us. David said, you have a choice. You step into a God situation in faithfulness and obedience, trusting fully and completely in Him, and the victory can be yours. But if you don't risk, you're never going to taste a victory. If David would have simply said, oh, my older brothers are all scared, I'm scared too, run in the other direction, there would have been no victory for the children of Israel that day. And Goliath and the Philistines might have utterly defeated them. The same way the bad situation occurred with the children of Israel traveling in through the wilderness and coming into the land of Canaan. If they walked away after the spies returned and they listened to the 10 liars. And maybe that's a figure you got to remember too. For every faithful brother or sister, there may be 10 people lying. Don't do this. Don't fight this. Be afraid. Be afraid. Oh, be afraid. You better be afraid. You understand? You've got to understand what God is calling you to and the kind of intimate relationship you need with God. David had already been anointed to be king, but he also was the runt of the family. It says he was ruddy. That means sunburned, red, ruddy, and good looking. Two things. And it's noted by Goliath. It's under Goliath's insight. Oh, he's ruddy and good looking. I think I'll kill him. You understand. And so now you come to this point and God goes, I call my people to stand their ground. You are in the middle of your own moments of Goliath and David. You have got the opportunity to enter the promised land, trusting what God wanted to give you all along. And you have the ability to look to your right and left and say, thank you, God, that my family is as free as it is today. Thank you, God, and I pray that you won't let me be a part of the destruction of the freedom of this country. Thank you, God, that you'll help me defend the church and the brothers and sisters that are being shut down in Canada because they're preaching the word of God truthfully, that are being arrested in Sweden because the word of God says something and is a sin, and the government of Sweden says you can't call it a sin anymore. You think that won't happen here? What do you base that possibility on? That somehow America deserves more? We have been such a faithful country? And you begin to look at it and God says, I need David's. I need him to take on the Goliaths. And I need you to be one of them. Even if it's only just in your family. And so the promises of God remain faithful, true, and consistent. The challenge for us is, Lord, here I am, send me. Here I am, use me. Here I am, whatever I have, I bring as an offering to you, Lord. It wasn't the quantity of food that they were bringing in that sacrifice that was presented to you there in Deuteronomy. It wasn't a quantity or a quality. It was the sincerity with which you brought it. Bring the best of the harvest you've got. I only got 3 tomatoes and a couple of... It's all right. Bring it. Why? Because it is a testimony that you know who sustains your life, that you know who gives you freedom, that you know who preserves your children and your grandchildren. It is you stepping aside saying, Lord, your will be done in my life. So that's our challenge that I want us to receive and be challenged by. To have that kind of unity and focus. Join me if you would, in prayer. Lord, I've been intrigued by the courage of David since I was a little child. And when we see Ben standing up against Scott in his 9 and 10 foot length or height, we realize how small David must have looked and how offensive Goliath was and frightening he was for everybody else that had been certainly more trained and more experienced in battle than David was. Yet, Lord, by your hand of grace and your hand of mercy, you brought the victory. And then you called people to come and follow you faithfully. And so, Lord, we pray that we would learn, even if there are 10 spies telling us not to follow the 2 that say, do the will of the Lord. Even when we're afraid of what may happen, we're asking for the courage to stand there, use the ability and skill we do have to accomplish your purposes. Come and bless us to that end, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have any green slips,